Hi, this is Mark Zinkowitz, senior editor of SeedWorld Canada and the Alberta Seed Guide. I had an opportunity last month to facilitate a panel discussion at the SeedLink conference held in Brandon, Manitoba. This is a conference put on by the Manitoba Seed Growers Association. The panel was regarding how our industry can increase certified seed usage and how we can communicate the value of new genetics to both growers and end users. I had three great panelists. Peter Entz is Vice President of Seed and Traits for Richardson. Adam Dick is Canadian Program Manager for Warburtons. And Heather Hill is Research Manager for the Prairie Research Kitchen at Red River College Polytechnic. In front of an audience of seed growers and others throughout the industry, we chatted about this very important topic, and my panelists provided some really great insights that I hope will be of value to you and everyone throughout our industry. Enjoy the panel. No, as Tom said, the theme of today is promoting the blue tag, and we have three great panelists here today. We have Heather Hill of Red River College, Peter Entz of Richardson, and Adam Dick of Warburtons. And big round of applause for our wonderful panelists. So like I say, we're here for a specific purpose today, and it's to promote the blue tag, to get people interested in certified seed, get more farmers growing it, which isn't easy. I did some research online, and according to the few surveys that have been done, something like 13% of wheat growers in Canada use certified seed. That's pretty low, right? I mean, wheat is a huge crop in Canada. And if only 13% or so of wheat growers are using it, like, we've got a bit of an issue in this industry. And we've had promotional campaigns for many years. CSGA is doing a great one right now. It's called Choose Certified Seed. You can go to the website, choosecertifiedseed.ca. So it's something we've been trying to do for a very, very long time. But how do we really get more people to use this? It's not an easy task. I was at the CSGA Seeds Canada meetings in Newfoundland this past summer, and Sylvain Charlebois gave a talk. You may follow him on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now. He basically said, he's known as the food professor, so you might know him by that name. And he said, to get more farmers to grow certified seed, we have to get consumers interested in certified seed. He said, if you can get consumers interested in it, you'll get more end users wanting it, more farmers growing it, theoretically, according to him. But it was an interesting concept and led me to want to do a panel like this. And so I'm going to introduce our panelists here. We have Adam Dick in the middle. Adam is the Canadian Program Manager for Warburtons. Who here has heard of Warburtons? Show of hands. Pretty much everybody in the room. Excellent. Well, Warburtons is a British bakery company that produces a variety of bread products and has been sourcing Canadian wheat for its bread for almost its entire 146-year history. This year marks its 30th year running its Canadian Identity Preserved program. Warburtons has established relationships with Canadian farmers and industry. They use a blend of Canadian and UK wheat to create high-quality products, and this has resulted in Warburtons growing into the largest bakery in the UK. They don't have any production facilities in Canada, but it does have a Canadian program manager being Adam. Adam, beyond the basic description I just gave, can you give us some insight into what you do in your job and what the people in this room have to do with that?
Check, check. Okay, we can hear. First of all, thanks for having me today. See a lot of familiar faces in the room. Worked in the seed industry for 7 or 8 years in my past, so great to be here. What I do with Warburtons, basically, I act as the liaison between our company in the UK. I have 4,500 colleagues in the UK, and we're running 12 bakeries, 15 depots. We're all the way up to Scotland, all the way to the south coast of the UK. So we're a big baking business. And over here in Canada, it all starts with the varieties that we work with. So we work really closely with all the breeders, public and private, in Canada and the US, northern US. And then it gets to your world of seed. So we work with the seed companies, obviously yourselves, the seed growers, and try to find the new greatest varieties. We try to find those varieties early. We're looking at stuff early in the cycle. We're looking at it before it even gets registered. We're looking at it with the breeders. And then from there, we hopefully identify something and bring it to the market fairly quickly. We've got a few in the pipeline right now. I won't tell you which ones, but we're working hard. We also work really closely with Richardson. So Peter and I work closely on the seed side, but I work with his colleagues on the merchandising side. So Richardson's our exclusive partner here in Canada now, and they are the ones that are actually contract with our 350-plus farmers in Manitoba and Saskatchewan. And we use them to contract and then move that grain to Thunder Bay. Another part of my job is risk management. So I do all the buying of our Canadian wheat and our foreign exchange and the logistics piece of getting the grain from Thunder Bay to the UK. So I'm here on an island by myself as Warburtons, but I rely on the industry to assist us. We have great partnerships throughout the industry. And then I obviously can lean on my 4,500 colleagues in the UK to make sure that we get any help we need as well.
Thank you, Adam. How many people in the room have heard of Richardson? Probably every single one of you. Well, Peter Entz is Vice President of Seed and Traits for Richardson. He's responsible for the overall strategic direction for Richardson's seed business. Welcome, Peter. Can you talk a little bit about your role at Richardson and how certified seed plays into it?
Sure. Can you hear me? Yeah. Well, again, thanks for the invite. The seed business at Richardson's on the bulk cereal side, we operate through 53 bulk seed facilities, registered bulk seed facilities, but we also work with over 100 seed growers across Western Canada. A lot of you are in the room here that we build relationships with, and the goal is to get certified seed into the hands of our farmers. The area that's slowly evolving, and we'll probably all spend a bit of time talking about today, is end-use demand. And so we have we own and operate 5 oat mills. We have the North America's largest durum mill in St. Louis, and we recently got into the malt business, and that's going to have to be a big driver. Is finding varieties that can drive the business on the processing end, and that'll filter back to farmers. And within that context is also maybe introducing some environmentally sustainable practices that our end users can also market as they market their products.
Thank you, Peter. And last but not least, we have Heather Hill. Heather is a food scientist who works as a research manager for the Culinary Research and Innovation Team at Red River College Polytechnic in Winnipeg. She joined the team in 2018 and brought her expertise in food development research, especially in plant protein and pulses. She actually works with agri-food companies to provide practical solutions for their products, ideas and challenges. So you, Heather, of all people, know that what goes into food really matters from a quality perspective. It makes all the difference between people wanting to eat your food and going, I don't really know if I want to try that, right? And that's kind of the death knell for a restaurant or a food business, especially today post-COVID. So you're here, Heather, as someone who can offer us insights into why specific value-added ingredients are so important in food. So in that spirit, can you tell us a bit about your role at Red River College and why value-added ingredients in general are so important to what you do?
Sure, yeah. And thanks for having me to speak about this today. I'm really interested to be here. My role at, it's called the Prairie Research Kitchen. We're at Red River College Polytech. We're an applied research institute, and what we're doing right now is we're an access point for entrepreneurs to be able to access the resources at the college. So that might be like knowledge or facilities or equipment that we have. I would say how it maybe relates to this group is we also help on the ingredient development side. So I would say, you know, this group here, you're growing seeds, you're growing crops, but from my end of the room, my end of the table, I'm seeing ingredient suppliers. So it's really about understanding the quality of the ingredients and being able to meet the consumer expectations. So that is huge, and there's definitely variability among crops, and that's something that we do at the Prairie Research Kitchen, is we can help to identify maybe some of the really unique functional traits of some of the ingredients out there, and then translate that into food product quality that meets consumer expectations time after time. It is so important. So that's what we do there.
Thank you, Heather. Now, we've set the stage here in terms of why certified seed is really important for Peter and Adam, and why value-added ingredients are so crucial for what Heather does. Now here's where our mission begins. Like I said, wheat growers, what little research has been done, only about 13% of wheat growers are using certified seed. If you're growing a herbicide-tolerant crop like a canola or a soybean, you know, usage obviously is much higher, but for other crops, cereals, pulses, it can tend to be quite low. So how do we change this? How do we really make an impact? We've got great campaigns like Choose Certified Seed, things like that, that are getting the word out, but how do we try and go beyond this to really drive adoption of certified seed and really promote the blue tag? So I'm just going to throw this question out there, starting with Peter. Just off the top of your head, Peter, how do we change this? How do we get more growers, people interested in certified seed beyond just, you know, say, promotional campaigns and things? Those are great. But how do we go beyond that, maybe get more end users, consumers interested to really try and drive adoption of this?
Yeah, well, that is the big question, right? I think we started down this path, you know, as long as I've been with Richardson, and it all started by, like, you should buy certified seed. It's the right thing to do. That doesn't work, and we've stepped away from that. So just to be that grower who's doing the right thing isn't obviously driver, isn't a driver. One of the things that we've noticed is just the convenience certified seed provides you. So now a lot of our seed, well, I should put it this way. You know, with our customers, we talk about their bulk seed needs, and our promise to them is whatever they want, we'll bring it in, and when they go to the field, they can pick it up, it can be treated or whatever. So that whole convenience factor became way more important than I thought it would be. You know, breeders need to bring new products to the market that are better than what farmers are currently growing, and that always gets farmers re-engaged in buying new varieties that are going to be beneficial to their farm. But what we've also experienced is there's some varieties that show up that are super good, and they're really hard to displace. So, you know, and farmers are going to be comfortable growing them for 7-8 years. So that quick turnover of varieties isn't that much of a factor. Now, getting to the IP or the end-use part of it is important. So we've got two examples where it works. They're kind of the easy examples. One is Warburton's, where they're looking for specific varieties and they are driven by certified seed. And one is malt barley, where currently we have a program with five varieties. You know, there we can say, hey, the end users wants these varieties, and that's what we're contracting. And if you contract, there's a premium associated with. So those are really quite easy. But as I said, we have a Durham mill, and we have a whole bunch of oat mills, and we can't create an IP program with those big acre crops. And that's sort of on my thing to do every year, and I've kind of failed a lot at that. And the reason is, and I'm going to talk about oats, we fund all the breeding programs in Western Canada, but our strategy more is for the quality of oats to remain high, regardless of the variety, and keep farmers growing oats. That's probably our number one priority, to keep oats relevant to farmers. And there hasn't been necessarily that one variety that's popped and that we've said, geez, we've got to IP that one and bring that in and do all that. It hasn't worked for us anyways. This Durham Mill acquisition is only about 2.5 years old. I think there's some opportunity on Durham because there always are some varieties that show something special, and we would be willing to IP that, and we're hoping to run a program next year. I mean, Durham's not going to impact too many of you, but that's one thing that we're looking at. And I'll just maybe close with a kind of a new area for us, and this is where certified seed really plugs into, but it goes directly back to the end user. And maybe if they're not like 100% sold on certified seed, they understand that they have to have some sustainability messaging to their consumers. They've got to say something. And they all want to have like a green check mark or a green thumbs up or something. And we think we can deliver that. And it'll be delivered through certified seed and certain agronomic practices. So, we're not going to go off script in terms of how farmers grow their crops, but we will probably encourage some adoption, for example, of nitrogen stabilization, right? Nitrogen is a bad word in the environment, and if we can help reduce the greenhouse gas emissions, that'd be very positive. And if we can wrap that into a food product, it's even better.
So we need to go beyond just telling growers, use certified seed because it's the right thing to do. We need to focus on quality attributes, sustainability. That was a big thing that Rob Sayek talked about yesterday. Adam, that sounds like it has a lot to do with what Warburton's does. I mean, quality, that's something Warburton's customers are hugely interested in. They want a quality bread product. Sustainability, I'm sure that's something the company is promoting, how sustainable we are, how good for the environment our operations are, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to throw that question to you now, Adam. What do we need to do from that perspective to generate more interest in certified seed?
I probably have about 10 thoughts on this. Probably none of them will result in more seed being sold, but I have ideas. I grew up on a pedigreed seed farm. As I said, I worked in the seed industry for 7 or 8 years with many of you, and then I've been working at Warburton's for 14 years, heavily involved on the variety side of things with seed companies and a lot of seed growers as well. So, yeah, as Peter said, I think what's currently being done isn't working, and I think telling your friends and your neighbors that they should buy certified seed because it's better, it hasn't worked, so we need to take a different approach to it. I guess from a Warburton standpoint, we fully bought in to certified seed. We see it as a big positive for a number of reasons. First off, varieties are different. And, you know, Mark, you mentioned that, you know, canola and corn and soy, they don't have this issue. You know, they sell everything as certified seed. It's quite ironic because those are the most, I would say, most stable crops and the most homogeneous crops grown, especially soy and corn. You know, the American farmers just pile it high in a big bin, and it's easy to handle. You know, and they have certified seed nailed with herbicide resistance and hybrids and things like that. On the cereal side, of a lot of things that we grow here in Canada, on wheat and barley and oats and pulses, there's so much variability by variety. It's scary. And we have 13% certified seed use on wheat. Manitoba would obviously be a lot higher than that. I'm scared to hear what Saskatchewan's number is if the average is 13%. But I think that's quite ironic that the crops that are very homogeneous have the certified seed use, and the crops that have the variability in end-use performance don't. So we need to get there, and I think instead of spending the time and energy focusing on talking with farmers and neighbors and on why do you use certified seed, it really needs to be the focus of talking to companies and end-users such as Warburton's to get there. This isn't the same world we had 5 years ago. Definitely companies are waking up to this. From a Warburton standpoint, yeah, it ticks a lot of boxes, as I mentioned. It's consistency. Like, there's so much variability. The consistency that certified seed, where we can have the perfect varietal blend every boat we ship over to the UK, it's invaluable. It's fantastic. Where we know others that, you know, I talk to other baking companies around the world, you know, they have their quality's bouncing like this, and they're having issues in their production facilities. You can give that consistency, and you can tell other companies about this. I think the focus needs to be back onto the end user and push the value there. We also need to get away from the commodity world. Sell, and I'll use wheat as an example because that's my world. But sell it as an ingredient, not as a commodity. And it's tough to do that because it gets priced as a commodity generally. But, you know, we always talk about wheat as our most important ingredient. On every one of our packages, it is the first thing, wheat flour. That's the number one thing in our packages. That's where our focus is. A lot of food products have some key crops that you're growing as the number one thing, whether it's pulses, cereals. We gotta go after those food companies. It won't take, you know, it'll take a while. It'll take working with the seed companies that you're part of, with the exporters that have the customer relationships. But that's where the growth is. And I think just to end my thought here, or thoughts, we're coming to a new age of end users asking for things like sustainability. We're getting to a new age where we're going to have some really interesting traits through gene editing that end users are going to be very, very interested in. That will require certified seed use. So I think the time to have these discussions is now, and start preparing the millers and end users for these new products, because you are going to be the driving force. You're going to have to produce that seed that's going to have these unique traits or have a sustainability story attached to it from a quality assurance standpoint that will help deliver this. So I think it's exciting. I think we're not sitting here in this room 5 years from now banging our head on the wall like we are today on selling certified seed and getting up from 13%. I think there is opportunity there. So maximizing that opportunity over the next 5 to 10 years.
Thanks, Adam. You guys are great. You make this so easy for me. You said we need to sell certified seed as an ingredient. And Heather, you're the food expert. Can you talk a little bit about, you told me a story about how in the past certified seed has played a role in what you do. You've actually used it or attempted to use it for certain research programs. And can you talk a little bit about why certified seed in the past has been so important to you from that ingredient perspective?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I mean, my background is in pulses. I've worked with pulses for a number of years now. At the research kitchen, I'm doing a lot more broad stuff. So Adam's saying, like, pulses is kind of like, I felt that was a little bit of a nod to me and what I've done with pulse ingredient development and understanding pulse ingredients. But I worked for a number of years on understanding the properties of particularly pea flour as a food ingredient and how different processing can affect the quality. But as a researcher trying to understand more about this, we need to take out variability where we can. And so part of that project was trying to start with something more homogenous as an ingredient, which would be getting pedigreed seeds or certified seeds or variety-specific seeds. So to know what's variety-specific, then we were looking for a certified seed to do this. But also in that, trying to get like a ton of certified peas for single variety is a bit of a challenge. So for me, my background, like I'm from the city, from Winnipeg, but I did go through agricultural and food sciences, and I maybe didn't have the same connections. Like I've been connected into the pulse world, but trying to acquire the certified certified seeds in the quantity that we need was challenging. Or, and then later on in some of my projects, trying to get certified beans too was a lot of work. So I would go through the seed catalogs, I'd go through the certified seed growers, and I'd be sending emails. And I know, like, I should be calling, because I know, like, really farmers, like, prefer when I pick up the phone and call, and that's probably where I got the most traction, but it was very challenging. And I think part of that, too, is maybe not necessarily, like, I was sort of coming, and it depended on the time of the year that I was asking, if there was seed available, maybe, like, a ton or two, or maybe people could spare a bag or something like that. But that was a really challenging process for me. And I think because I was looking at sourcing pulses, like you were saying, Adam, there's a lot of variability in the pulse genetics. There's less, I don't know really the numbers on the amount of certified seed for pulses that's available, but it was something challenging. And I do want to make a quick comment, if I can, Mark, about something Adam mentioned about how wheat is more homogeneous, but there is more certified seed available. I think what that might play into, and we'll see a difference in the coming years, is what are we expecting from the functionality of our ingredients? So the wheat industry is particularly, for the use for bread, quality is very defined, like centuries of definition, too. I mean, like, there's a lot of...
Still lots of variability in there, but...
But there's a lot of approved methods, yes, like, from our side on the food science side, on if this will perform in a bread application. So it's like directly related. But as we see more interest in plant proteins, particularly like pulses in, you know, like plant-based applications, and trying to make sure that it's getting the functionality it needs, I think then you're going to have to see specific varieties defined for those end-use applications in terms of their functionality. And then it'll be like, well, we have to use this variety for now because we know this works. And we've seen that at the Research Kitchen is, you know, sometimes we'll get a process all set out, it works, and then we make a change, and all of a sudden it's not working in the application we're doing. And we're expecting so much of that ingredient to be able to perform. So it's something I think new for pulses to have that pressure on them as food ingredients. So I think that might, like we were saying, like, I don't know if we'll be here in 5 years because there's such a push that right now.
Yeah, I look at how far... We used to do lots of work together with Siggy, Cereals Canada, now with Heather. So Heather was one of the pioneers of trying to identify pulse end-use quality on the flour side. And when we started talking, this would have been like 8-9 years ago, probably, 7-8 years ago, it was like shape, color, size. It was just the canning industry that had defined pulses. And then we started asking questions like, well, is there a variety difference on protein content or fiber content? And they were just starting to figure that out. And because of the good work that Heather and others have done, now you're starting to have this conversation. And we've had all this pulse processing capacity put on here in Western Canada. And these questions are being asked of, you know, they want higher protein. They want different end-use quality parameters. And they want consistency. And it's wheat's been focused on this for a long time. Pulses have been 5 years, really, so there's a lot of growth there. And I think wheat still has a lot of room to dial things in a little bit as well.
Sure. Yeah. For sure.
Well, and that speaks to this issue of barriers. I mean, Heather, if you're trying to access things and you can't get it, and that means, you know, that maybe we as an industry have inadvertently maybe put up some barriers that make things hard for you to access. And Peter, I'm curious, what's the biggest barrier you have found in getting people to want to work with Richardson and to grow certified seed? What's that number one hurdle that you've struggled to try and get over?
Well, I think it's not on... It's more on the end-use side,
yeah.
Where, you know, they come to us with a long list of their demands, what they need, when they need it. And then when you go to price it, there's no premium, right? Well, we want to get all this, but we just want to pay a regular, you know, CWRS bid for that. So really, the end users haven't stepped up yet, but we continue to work with them. And I think one of the advantages we have is we also are an end user, you know, with our durum mill and oat mill and stuff like that. So we think we have a better opportunity to maybe build that bridge. But Adam mentioned gene editing, And I just want to talk about that because, you know, I think it was February of this year, the CFIA opened up gene editing, i.e. they were taking away the hurdles for Canadian scientists to bring these products to market. So I think that's got massive opportunity. And I think you're now going to have, you're not going to be reliant on the big life science companies to develop new traits and introduce them. There's going to be a lot of room for a lot of small local companies to develop traits, incorporate them into varieties. So very, very exciting for Canada, and I think for our business here in Canada, certified seed will be a huge part of that. However, the barrier is where all this wheat, for an example, is going to end up. So there's still export barriers or barriers with importing countries that we have to, you know, make sure we can eliminate. But I think the first step was getting that approval is awesome. The second step is, you know, priming the pump so our farmers can grow these products. But the critical third step is international approvals.
Yeah, and getting, like you say, end users interested. And Adam, you know, Warburton's being a manufacturer of these products is an end user. Heather, you know, designing food products, end users. Adam, what's the most effective way you found to get people interested in this from an end use perspective? Not so much convincing, you know, growers to work with you, things like that, but just from an end use perspective. You know, I know it's a bit of a fantasy maybe to think that we can really get consumers to care about certified seed the same way they care about, you know, some people want to see that non-GMO label, some people want low sodium, some people want to see no preservatives on the bag, things like that. Maybe it's a bit of wishful thinking to think that, you know, a certified seed label on a loaf of bread is going to get them interested. I'm not sure it would have the same psychological effect that, you know, something like the non-GMO label has on some people. But Adam, what do you think in terms of getting people interested in this from that end-use perspective? What can we do?
The easiest thing that I've found is to show people bread. And I'll show them a range of bread that is different varieties grown at the same location. And you can see the genetic difference on a variety. And right there, you know, when I think about certified seed, I think about locking in those genetic traits that variety has that delivers something for us or doesn't deliver something for us that we don't want involved in our program. So once I show someone the bread, if I'm talking with some of our farmers and they're like, why can't I grow this variety on my farm for you guys? I show them some bread. They get it. Would you want this loaf of bread or you want this loaf of bread? That's why I'm paying you a premium to grow this in your area. I know this other variety is a big variety in your area, and it's probably great for other end users all around the world, but it doesn't work in our process. So that's my, in our business internally we use that, and obviously with our farmers that work with us and the rest of the industry, we show them bread, and you can't argue the bread. That's what I always say. Just to add a little bit onto that, I guess I'm surprised that more end users haven't stepped up and gone the IP route. We kind of thought there was this strong demand post 2012 coming, and it never happened. And I think there's just a lot of it's a big expense. And I think if you start from scratch and you want to have a full-out IP program, you're adding a lot of cost to your supply chain. We've been able to, you know, slowly grow over 30 years here in Canada. But yeah, I think there's just some cost barriers there. But I think, as I said before, I think to get some of these new traits, I think certified seed is going to have to be required to really close loop those traits to make sure that the value capture is there for the developers.
Heather, food manufacturing, I know we had our office downtown in the Exchange District I would often go for lunch at the Red River College kitchen where the students would train. You actually work in that same building. And they had really awesome food, all kinds of different things. And from a food ideas perspective, I mean, can we somehow attract consumers, get them interested in certified seed somehow in that regard? Like I say, I know it, you know, trying to get someone excited about something because, well, this was grown from certified seed might not work psychologically the way, you know, other marketing techniques do, but from a food marketing perspective, do you have any thoughts on how we can get people interested, excited about this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think inherently, like, consumers are looking for quality, and I think Adam really touched on that, was they don't even maybe understand, like, how much reducing the variability from the ingredients, like, plays out in things like taste and texture, which are, like, paramount for consumers, for sure. On the flip side, if you wanted to maybe, like, market it specifically, like, I think there are definitely consumers that are interested in seeing, like, more specifics about their products that they're buying. Like, it might be related to, it is related to quality, certainly. Like, there is a brand of beans in the States called Rancho Gordo, and, like, they're known for being sort of gold standard of quality. And we talk about this in the kitchen with the chefs that, you know, like, they're beautiful beans. Like, the cooking quality is very consistent. And I remember once, like, actually looking through, at the time it was Twitter feed, and someone is having a discussion about Rancho Gordo on Twitter, and I had just started following, like, a very, like, well-known chef in Toronto, and they were saying, like, why can't we have beans like this in Canada? Why can't we have beans like this in Canada? So I'm weighing in, and I'm saying, well, we could. We could. Like, it's about, you know, like, narrowing down the quality and marketing the quality on that, too. So, I mean, I knew at the time, like, that the general practice for beans was commingling varieties, and it's really hard to, like, demonstrate that consistency and quality when you're having commingled varieties, really. So that might be a part of it. It might be, like, relating to on-farm, like, so it's certified seed, but you know what's from, like, maybe one region. But it's so niche, you know? So if you really want the uptake, I think it has to be on a bigger scale, and it's really, like, the consumers can ask for it on that side, but it's really about the quality. I think what Adam was saying was dead on. Like, end users in terms of food manufacturers have to understand the value that they don't have to worry about variability for their process based on the ingredient quality. That is so important. Like, if you bring in a shipment of peas for your process, that is a total, it could be a total X factor on how it delivers in your system. You could be discarding that entire lot in a full day of processing and still have to look for an ingredient source that would work. So, you know, maybe you're paying more on the IP on it to guarantee the quality, but it's consistent. And then you know, too, if there is something wrong, it might be, like, more process-related than the raw material-related. So that's my take. I think there is something that we could do maybe to market it or have it for consumers, but really at the end game, I think, is the food manufacturers.
Peter, just curious, yeah, how do you, you know, you talk with people, you're stuck in an elevator with them, they ask you what you do, and how do you get people excited and certified seed, like a lay person, not somebody involved in the industry, but someone who maybe doesn't know much about it or maybe doesn't know anything about it? How do you get them excited about it, get them interested, wanting to know more?
I think just in sitting here listening to the other speakers, I think, one, I'd like to acknowledge the fact that seed growers' role in all what we're talking about is going to be vital. Because as you guys know, certified seed is that traceability factor that we as Richardson can sell throughout the value chain. But I don't think we're not motivated in putting a certified seed stamp on everything. We're motivated by what that certified seed can bring, if it's a new trait, if it's some sort of sustainable production or whatnot. The certified seed will be the vehicle, but I don't think it's something we're going to be interested in in promoting per se. I would say the other thing that's very interesting for us is we need to do things at a large scale. So, you know, if there's a chef in Winnipeg who wants a certain thing, they're probably best working directly with the seed grower, and you can bag some stuff or develop some totes for them or whatnot, and that works perfectly. What we're looking for an example, this Durham project we're on, I mean, we're going to kick tires at 5,000 acres, right? So, and 5,000 acres hopefully produces a lot of tons you can take to the mill and process it, and we need to prove that these attributes can follow through that commercial production. So we're looking for scalability. So ours maybe isn't maybe as niche as some of the examples you have, Heather. But I think the benefit is, if it is scalable, it's going to impact way more acres.
So we almost need to get them interested in certified seed by not boring them trying to tell them about certified seed. So we need right. to go back to what Adam said, sell it as an ingredient and talk about this product as something that leads to something that's really special, not the certified seed itself, but essentially what it can make, I think is what I'm hearing. I just want to check in with the audience. Does anybody have a thought, a comment, a question, anything? This is Jake.
Jake here, seed grower from Minto, just outside here. First off, Adam, I was a little disappointed when it wasn't Samuel L. Jackson on stage today.
Sorry, can't afford him.
Sorry, just for anyone who doesn't know, if you go to Warburton's Twitter page in the UK, they have Samuel L. Jackson as their spokesperson. It's kind of funny, actually. You should check it out. So go ahead, Jake.
That was great.
Thanks for the plug, Jake.
So my question would be for Adam and probably Heather, too. On the consumer side, is there an interest, you talked about a lot, you know, the consistency and quality. Is there an interest there in knowing about the traceability from the consumer, too, and that sustainability aspect? Like, on Warburton's, Adams, and Heather answered you, Warburton's, have you ever done any pilots with, you know, QR codes on the bread loaves and that kind of IP traceability? And Heather, what's the kind of appetite there on the consumer side for that traceability story?
First.
You can talk a little first, yeah, for sure. I would say there's definitely like opportunity on the traceability side, but I don't know if it'll be at the scale that we really need to like push it forward. But there's definitely brands out there that we're seeing that are leaning on the traceability, like Three Farmers, you know, they have their snack beans that they're making, and like there's like a full, you know, farm to plate story, like as a part of their branding. So I really do think that that is resonating with consumers. And I think maybe on a larger scale, like even in the fact of like Brand Canada, on how Brand Canada resonates for quality globally, there could be an opportunity there. But like I said, I think right now we're seeing sort of like smaller brands and like a smaller share of the market is capitalizing on that. But I think there is something there. But I mean, you'll know more from the
I guess from a QR code onto a loaf of bread, it's really difficult to do. We're dealing with, you know, 200,000 tons a year, and it's all IP'd through the system, but it's not IP'd by farm. It's IP'd by variety, and it's getting loaded on into a 30,000 ton Laker vessel in Thunder Bay at our perfect blend. So it really loses all of its on-farm specific identity there. But yeah, we have the traceability to go back to the farm with retained samples and all that. I guess, is the consumer asking for it? I would say no. They're looking for, you know, cheap, safe, nutritious food for their families. The retailers are asking for it, and that's our main customer is the retailers, and they want to know our story and what we're doing. You know, there's a lot of, you know, different countries have different issues right now on country of origin labeling and things like that. You know, we're getting pressure from groups we're requiring UK farmers to do X. What are you requiring Canadian farmers to do? And it's a good question to, for them to be asking. And it's something that in our program we're able to identify what our Canadian farmers are doing. But for the wider Canadian industry, I don't think we really have an answer that's macro enough or industry enough to answer some of our customers' questions around that. So that's needs to be a point of focus as they come asking us about quality assurance systems and sustainability. What story are we going to tell them? You know, we think we have our story down pat, but if we're dealing with, you know, thousands of customers around the world, how can the industry here in Canada help define that story?
Maybe, sorry, can I just add one thing? This is going to be a shameless plug for the Research Kitchen, but like, because you're business owners too and you have food and it's a product, and if that's something that you're interested in, like, you taking forward to the market and maybe, like, you know, like, packing up like your oats or like getting them rolled locally, and then you want to like also communicate that message. If there's something there that you need help to support on like, oh, like how does it cook or how do we make it into a recipe, or I'm like interested in this, then you could definitely come to me and our team at the Prairie Research Kitchen, and we can help you define that too, because we work with small and medium enterprises, your business owners. We do have some funding programs available for Canadian businesses that are incorporated, so we can chat about that if that's on anyone's radar, like to also like do something on the food space. So I'll just add that in.
Heather, anybody else? Comment, question, any burning questions in your mind about this topic? There's got to be something. Somebody must be one. I'm curious, Adam, have you met Samuel L. Jackson?
I have not.
You haven't. We'll have to book him for next year, Jennifer.
Yeah. So,
okay, put him on the list.
Mark, I'll be jumping on a quick question.
Absolutely.
Maybe for Peter or anyone on the panel, I guess, thinking about this room specifically, seed growers, how can we help with the messaging to end users? Is there a different message or a way we can market what we do to support the efforts that you guys are working on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, Tom. I think just by you doing what you do is probably the best thing to market it. And, you know, if we have an end-use customer, if we take them to your place or other people's places, it'll be impressive, right? Because I think the whole notion of certified seed, people don't really understand, but they would understand coming to your seed plant and seeing the care and attention that you guys put into this. But I think the one thing I do want to bring up is, you know, I mentioned that we have to do it in a scalable way at Richardson. So it's got to be tens of thousands of metric tons. But it's completely possible. You're not going to have a QR code and have a smiling picture of Tom Greaves pop up and he grew your wheat, you know. But what we can sell to a consumer is what you're getting are these three varieties grown from certified seed with these sort of sustainable practices being used in that production, and these farmers adhere to our whatever specs that we can sell, and we can sell it like at a very high scale. And I think that's where we're motivated to have that scalability.
I'll give a shout out to Cantera Seeds because they have a new, I tried their new beer. They did a partnership with TransCanada Brewing in Winnipeg, and Cantera Seeds made its own beer that used two specific varieties. I told you all about them on the can. And so that was really interesting for me. I don't know what the general beer consumer, how interested they'd be, but for someone like me who enjoys craft beer, to see that on the can, that here's the varieties of barley that were used in this, was really, really interesting. Well, thank you, everybody. This has been wonderful. Our panelists will be around during the day. If you'd like to have a chat with them, ask them any questions, feel free. I think this is like the third panel discussion I've done so far, so I'm getting better every time. Thank you for being a great audience. I I should have told you this when I started. We recorded this whole session today. So we're going to do a little podcast. It'll be on our website, germination.ca, so you can share it with people. Just go to our website and send it to whoever you think could use the information. Big round of applause for Heather, Adam, and Peter, please. Thank you so much, everybody. Thanks, guys. That was great. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. For more great podcasts, visit germination.ca. Have a great day.